What is up, what is up, what is up, everyone, everyone, everyone. It is another day, another time, and another week for Real Talk Monday. Ladies and gentlemen, y'all know we are excited to be here on tonight. I got my co-host, Miss Daisy, up in here with me. How you doing, sis?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
I'm good. And we got two fire guests up in here with us tonight. Y'all will get to know them very shortly. But y'all know how we start off Real Talk Monday. And the way we always start off Real Talk Monday is with a little bit of the theme song. So as the theme song is playing, I want you to like, say a tag, tell everybody, tell somebody that Real Talk Monday is on. Let's go.
What is up? What is up? What is up, y'all? It is another day, another time, and another week. What is up? What is up? What is up? Everyone, everyone, everyone. It is another day, another time, and another week for Real Talk Monday.
Let us go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll start introducing these lovely guests that we have. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we come to you once again, thanking you for another day, another opportunity to come and give your name the praise. We thank you, Lord, for our guests on the night. We'd ask you right now to get us out of the way so that your name gets the glory, your name gets the honor, and your name gets the praise. These many blessings in your Son Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, Andrea. Hey, sis. So, y'all, I'm going to let our guests introduce themselves, and then I'm turning it over to Daisy so that we can get into these questions, whichever one of y'all wants to go first.
Ladies first.
Well, hello, everyone. My name is Adriana, and I am from the state of Mississippi. That's pretty much it.
Okay, so we are going to go on to our brother over here now.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Jared Bargett. I'm also the host of Lost in Translation podcast on YouTube, and I can also be featured on Black Man Unfiltered network on YouTube as well. Thank you for having me.
No problem, bro. All right, so Daisy, let's get into these questions with them tonight. Let's go.
All right, so, hey, y'all, how y'all doing? Happy Monday.
Happy Monday.
Our guest for saying yes at such short notice. It was really short notice, y'all.
Right.
So, you know, they rolling with the roll because they said yes. So, we're going to celebrate them for their yes right now. All right. The topic, before I go into the questions, the topic is, what's the real deal? Right? What's the real deal? Y'all going to keep it real with the dealio? All right, so. The first question is, James, you know what you should have done? You should have showed a little clip. I don't know if that's possible before we start. You should have showed a little clip of the video you sent me. That's
crap.
Right.
Man, hold on. Let me go back. I will share that onto the page and they can go watch it because I cannot get it right now.
Okay, cool. All right. So basically, just to give you a background, the video where we got this title from was it's a couple. Were they married, James?
Right? I think so. I think they was married.
Married, and the man, he has a child outside of the woman that he's married with. And so they have kids together also. He comes from, I guess, from work or somewhere, and she's feeding their kids together, but she's not feeding his son. And so they get into an argument, disagreement, whatever you want to call it, regarding that. And she basically was saying, that's your responsibility. That's your child. That has nothing to do with me. I don't have to feed that child. That's your responsibility. I'm not his mother. So that's the background on it. The, like James said, the video clip will be in the comments, right, James?
Yeah. I'm actually about to put it in the comments now.
All right, cool. All right, so guests, I'm going to ask the first questions, and then we'll start off with Andrea first, right? All right, so the first question is, can you have feelings for two people? Can you have feelings for two people?
I would say no. Feelings for two people, me personally, like I said, I would just say no. I mean, it's a difference in love, lust, and feelings. If you're in love with the person, then that's who you love, that's who you're with, that's who you're going to be with. I wouldn't say you could be in love with two people. Feelings for two people, you pretty much have to just playing around. You don't know what you want, you know, because it's too much going on. You have too many diseases out there, and you know when you have feelings for somebody, and you know what to do when you have lust for somebody. When you have love, you know, it leads to other stuff. So me personally, I would say no.
Thank you for that honest opinion and feedback on that. I have a second question to what something you said, but I don't want to ask it until everyone answers. You can go next guest, our second guest.
Can you love two people? Yeah, but you can only be dedicated to one. Now, you're going to have to clear that up on how you want to deal with that. But you can only be dedicated to one. You know what I mean? Because somebody's going to get left out. Somebody's going to feel jealous. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Somebody's going to feel hurt. Somebody's going to feel betrayed. Bad. I mean, you got to make a decision. You can't, you know, just sit there and just sit on the fence. You know what I mean? Somebody's going to feel left out.
Yeah, you can't play with people's feelings these days.
Right.
You can't do that because, I mean, nowadays people are not playing about their feelings and what they got going on. And, yeah.
Right.
James, since you're not a guest, can I just ask my second part?
Go on ahead.
Okay, so you brought up, Andrea, you brought up there's too much stuff going on out there sexually, right? Too many and so forth. So I don't know. Y'all know the Bible, but James don't always got to throw something in there with the Bible. You know, wives. He had many wives, okay? So how do y'all feel being married? What do they call them, a relationship? Monogamy relationship where they have multiple either men, husbands, I should say, or wives. Like, they really have that, not just in the Bible, but they have what? That reality.
It's a religion. It's a religion that has more than one wife. And more than one husband.
I know you mentioned it's too much out there, but for them to be married, right? And Andrea said it, poly. Yeah, right. That's what it is. How do you feel about that? That you're married and your multiple spouse are aware of them, you know, you get checked up and you're aware of what they have or what they don't have. Is that then something that you would share?
I wouldn't do
first
that.
First of all, let me tell you something. And I'm just going to keep it real. If I'm married, I'm not sharing my spouse with nobody.
Period.
At all, period. And if you feel like you want to have somebody else, maybe give me these papers and let me give you this divorce and get these walking papers, because we're not going to do this over here.
Okay.
So the thing about it, whenever you get into situations like that, that's a lazy way of doing it, because you have to, when you get with somebody, you have to make sure that you really get to know that person on an intimate right. level. Mm-hmm. When you're around here switching out or whatever, you're not really knowing somebody. You're just wasting
and
a whole lot of time.
And you're not happy with yourself. You're right. not happy
you're
with
busy.
Yourself to do that.
You know, you're busy. Then how can you really be intimate, like know this person, like I see right. into you. You know, if you're always switching things out all the time, or you know, right. fixing kids' food or whatever, and life goes on, you can't do that. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And you can't build a relationship that's solid if you're always switching things out. So I don't think that's right. how it was designed to be. To be honest,
and it's not healthy either.
No, it's not, and safe.
Right.
No.
And the kids don't know who to call mom and daddy.
Oh, no.
Everybody's daddy at that point, right?
Right.
Are you my mommy? Are you my daddy? Right.
All right, so.
The kids, why do I got so many aunties and uncles?
Right. It's just confusing in a whole. And, right. I mean, I will jump into my response to it, and then I'll let James go. Number one, I'm stingy. I'm not sharing nothing. I'm a whole brat. So what do I look like sharing my spouse with another? Right. That's just not going to work out at all in any shape, form, or way, regardless if I know that they're clean from any diseases or anything like that. We just not getting down like that. So that's a definite no for me. To answer the first question, can you love two people selfishly, like being really selfish, not really wanting to commit? I think people that can share themselves and their heart and their feelings with more than one person intimately, and in whether it be in a relationship or getting to know someone, that can share their heart or their feelings with someone else, I really feel like that's a selfish act. I really feel that that's selfish. You want to have your cake and eat it too. And, you know, again, throwing biblical in it, God is not the author of confusion. What you're confused about? Why do you feel like you need to have this woman or this man and another man? What's the problem? You can't find what you need in that one person. So then that throws up to me, what is that person battling with down on the inside of them that they feel that they need to have multiple partners that they have to love? What are you lacking in one person, in one vessel, in your heart as a person to make you feel that you need to love three and two people? That's the problem. So I really feel like if there is a person that can love and share themselves in any way with more than one person in a marriage or whatever the relationship, I just feel like they're battling something within themselves. That's how I feel about that. All right, James.
Let me put it like this. The only person I'm sharing my woman with is Jesus. That's it.
Who?
It's Jesus. It's Jesus. That's it. That's it. That's it. Other than that, plain and simple, that's it. She's mine, I'm hers. We not doing this whole sharing of anything like that, because like my sisters and my brother said, I'm stingy with mine. So it's like, I don't want to have to wonder, okay, bet, I know we did our thing tonight, but are they going over here to mess with this guy today? Are they going over here to do it with them on the next day? Oh, wow, their phone ringing. I wonder if that's the guy again calling to tell them to come over to the house.
Mm-hmm.
Why Pizza Hut texting their phone? Why is Pizza Hut texting their phone? Pizza Hut don't ever text their phone. Why Pizza Hut texting the phone?
Yeah.
My thing is, no, I'm stingy with mine. And if you mind, I'm yours. And we ain't doing the sharing thing. No, not at all.
Okay, so we all seem to have the same response, basically. Just hit on different areas. If anyone else have anything to add on to that question, I can go to the next one if you don't.
No, I don't have anything else to add to that.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Good. All right. All right, so we're going flowing right into the next question. Can your spouse be friends with an ex? Can your spouse be friends with X? Ladies first.
Me personally, it's all about you and trust. If you trust your spouse to be friends with an ex, then that's something that you all have to decide on. It depends on how deep the relationship was between them, how long they was together, do I trust him and stuff like that. So to me, if I had to say he could be friends with an ex, I trust him. So therefore, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, now if push come to shove and you know some stuff happened, we done. That's just that. That's it. That's all. But like I said, I trust him. And if you trust him, you shouldn't have that issue for your spouse to be friends with an ex.
Right. All right. What about you?
That'll be a no. I'm just going to be honest, man. I don't need more than one man's influence in my house. It's God and then me, and then that's it. You know what I mean? All your little homies, they got to go, because I'm pretty sure you wouldn't want none of my exes hanging around. You know what I mean? That type of thing. Having any say-so in your household. So
I look at my situation. And I say that because I have a daughter and her dad is not actively in her life at all. But I have an ex and he's been in her life since she was two. He takes care of her, makes sure she's good, gets what she need, you know, whatever, whatever. So when I got with my boyfriend I made sure I put everything on the table to let him know, hey, look, me and him still conversate. It's nothing like that. He still do for my daughter. He makes sure she good. I meet him to get the money that that he's giving her for school, birthdays, whatever, whatever. So I laid that out there on the table first when we first started talking. So I didn't hide anything or nothing. So that's why I took it and looked at my situation, you know. So do we go and hang out? No, we don't do that. Do we conversate? Yes, we do. But it's nothing more, nothing less other than about that baby in the other room. That's it. That's all.
Here's my thing. If another man is covering your house, you ain't covered. I'm not doing that.
I'm not saying he's covering the house.
I'm not doing that. But
my thing is, I'm not going to rip that away from her when he's been in her life since she was two. She's 14. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say because I'm with somebody else, you can't see her or you can't do for her. I'm not going to do that to her. I mean, that wouldn't be fair to her, especially when that's who she know as her dad. She know who her biological dad is, but she know, you know, who takes care of her.
So, Jay, real quick, before you respond to that, because I want to comment on something that you just said. You said if another man's covering the house and the house not covered. So let me just flip your question a bit. Do you have kids?
No, I do not. I'm not married, so I don't have any kids.
Oh, okay. So you want to all marry? Okay. All right. So say you have kids, right? Or
all right.
A son.
We'll
or
pretend.
A,
go ahead.
And the relationship with her mom didn't work out, and she is now married. You want to still take care of your daughter, right?
If that's biologically my daughter, yes.
Okay, so it's only okay if it's biological, you're saying?
Yes.
But isn't that another man covering the house, though?
No. I mean, he's still responsible for covering his end of the deal, but that's the reason why you're supposed to make sure you take care of your household so you don't have these split situations. You know what I'm saying? So if I was forced to do something like that, I'm still required to take care of my child, whether they're over somebody else's house or not, mm-hmm. biologically. But if it's somebody that's not biological, there's really no need for that person to be there. Just being honest.
Andrea, at what age did your daughter connect with your ex-boyfriend?
Two.
At two? Okay. And you said her dad hasn't. See, it's touchy when you have, and this is right on point with the topic, actually, with the video, with the woman, the wife that disowned her husband's child. This is perfect. And so it's really touchy with kids when they become attached to mm-hmm. a partner, especially when they've been around. And I can speak for me being my grown self. My biological dad was never really there presently. Like, he was right. Money. That's nothing like physically presently being available and present in that moment, watching my ups and down, my highs and lows. However, my mom's husband have been. And so before that, my mom's husband and her got married, even though they've been high school friends and so forth, I called him dad. I linked to him, and that's who I saw as my dad. And this is my memory as my 6-5-year-old self. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of touchy. I know with kids, it's hard for them to find someone that they can call a father, an earthly father.
Right.
I think that if they find someone where they are comfortable to call them their earthly covering, and God may see fit to bless her that way through not the biological father, I say, hey, if all trust is there from her, Andrea's husband, our boyfriend, I say, hey, if they can connect and all come together to make sure that baby is covered and well taken care of, I say, hey, all for it. You know, that's my opinion. But I just wanted to shed a different light on it because I know you said you don't have kids yet and so forth. But if you don't have anything else, Jay, to add on that, I'll let
Fred. Here's my thing about that.
Go say it.
Whenever you got two males providing, that's going to be a problem. You want to make sure that you, the person that you're with, you want to give that person the honor and say, hey, look, I'm here now. I appreciate you for doing what you got to do, but you want to make sure that you give that main person the honor that's there. If not, if you don't honor that person, they're not going to stick around long enough because they don't know what their position is.
With my boyfriend, everything was laid out on the table from day one. Mm-hmm. Nothing was hidden at all. I literally laid everything out. Hey, look, me and such, we're not together anymore. He's been in her life since she was two. That's who she knows as dad. That's who she called dad. He makes sure she's straight. So therefore, I'm not going to rip that from him, and I'm not going to rip that from her. You know, I'm just not going to do it. His mother can call and say, hey, bring my grandbaby. Guess what I'm doing? Come on, babe. Let's go take this baby over there to her grandma's house. You know, the thing about it is, I just can't rip that from my child because that's dad to her. That's dad. Her biological dad, like I said, he is not in her life. I can't say the last time he talked to her, the last time he seen her. And my thing is this, with him as well, the one that she calls dad, you can't tell him that's not his child, period. He has been in relationships with other people. And when he tells them that he takes care of her, they ask, is that your biological child? And he tells them, well, she's mine. He has literally cut women off because they wanted him to stop doing for her. He told them, that's out the question. That's my baby. I'm not going to push her off because you're in my life. I'm not going to do that. I commend him for that as a woman. I commend him for that. Stepping up, taking care of a child that's not his because he don't have to do it, but he do. Birthday parties come around. Birthdays come up. No questions asked. He got her covered. School get ready to start. Guess what? Nothing else. He got her covered. Christmas time come around, she's covered. We split everything halfway down the middle. When she want new shoes, hey, these shoes cost $200. Don't worry about it. When I come off the road from driving truck, I'll bring you the 100. Cool, no problem. But like I said, I laid everything out on the table to let my boyfriend know, hey, this is what's going on. I'm not hiding nothing, and I'm not covering nothing up at all, period, whatsoever. So my thing is, as long as he gonna do for her, I'm not gonna rip it from him, and I'm not gonna rip that from her. My child would be heartbroken if I tell her, hey, you can't call him no more. No, that's selfish of me. So
I think bottom line for me, because kids is a sensitive topic for me, even though I don't have kids yet, I love kids and I don't play about kids. And I know growing up, kids can have resentment, right? And so, yes, he's attached, but, and I don't mean to say this in a harsh way. I would say this about anything else. We can move on from stuff eventually. But my concern is you don't want that baby to have resentment. So if she's attached to him, her feelings is really all that matters in this, right, in this equation, okay? For me. Right. And so if she is so attached to him that if, you know, you pull her away from him and it's going to hurt her to where she then holds resentment towards you, then I would say do what works for you guys. You know what I'm saying? Right. Especially if your man doesn't have an issue with it. I feel what Jay is saying because most men ain't going to fly with that. Okay. But
I mean, but he, like he said, he don't have any children. You know what I'm saying? I'm quite sure if he had kids,
Does your current boyfriend have kids Or no? Okay. No.
But I'm quite sure that he wouldn't be a deadbeat. And I can say that about my child's father. He's a deadbeat. So, you know, to each his own. Everybody have their own opinion. But yeah. I'm just saying what works for me in my household.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing and being so transparent, you guys. I appreciate that. We really do. Because this stuff like this happened in this real life. Didn't I get no real Real Talk Monday Reverend J show?
Dude, it really don't. It really don't.
Get no realer than this. Ain't no Jerry Springer. Okay. All right. So, Jay, Rev, you didn't answer.
Okay.
Yeah, you can't slide by with this one, Rev.
So, what was the question again? Would it be okay if my spouse was still in contact with their ex?
Yeah.
For me, the question would have to be two different answers. I would have two different answers to that question. Number one, I would have two different questions for that question. Number one, how close are her and her ex? Mm-hmm. Are they like conversing, like to the point to where they're going out to lunch? Mm-hmm. Are they conversing to the point to where like they on the phone 24/7? If that's the case, then no. Now, if they just conversing about, let's say they were childhood friends, mm-hmm. and they grew up together. Maybe this is an ex that she dated when she was younger. Nothing happened. They just realized they would be better off as friends. I'm not going to hold something over her head that she did when she was younger. Because if that was the case, then there would be some people in my life that I wouldn't be able to communicate with because of the simple fact that we've all had that person where you've tried the dating thing with them. And then as you got into that dating situation, you realize, you know what? No, we better off as just friends. Mm-hmm. But there would have to be a line that is drawn that whereas once I get in a relationship, once that my spouse, my woman gets in a relationship, she is going to have to cut off our communication somewhere of how much she talks to this person. Which for me, like if they talking every day, no, I'm not cool with that. Mm-hmm. But it depends on what that conversation is, would be my thing.
So, you know, I always got to like throw some stuff up in there because I feel like sometimes when we answer, we try to take the easy route out because the question was asked, sir. The question was, can your spouse be friends with an ex? And you said two part. So I want to ask you this. What is your definition of friend? What is your definition of friend?
Friend is somebody that they can count on. Somebody that will be, that knows them, not in the way that I know them, but somebody that knows them, that they have grown up with. Mm-hmm. And somebody that has seen them grow in life. That is my definition of friend.
And they may have them, right?
What'd you say?
And they may have to hang out with them, right? Friends.
Now, they may have to hang out with them. So let me say it like this. Ain't no hanging out with your ex. N-O.
Exactly. If you have to leave, listen, if you have to leave and please.
Right. See, that's the thing. See, it's no hanging out. Well, whatever me and my ex do is strictly conversation only. And when we talk, it's about the girl. Prime example, I spoke with him today. Hey, I have to go to court against her dad, you know, about some stuff or whatever, with dealing with child support and everything or whatever. He's no stranger to that because when I first went to court, he went to court with me. So he was just like, whatever you need me to do, you need a written statement or whatever. If I need to go pull out a bank statement showing, well, I'm giving you this, let me know. I got you. I will write everything out. He get it notarized and here you go.
Jay, you were gonna say something.
Yeah, if you have to leave and cleave from your mom and daddy, your friends got to go too.
I'm not saying
I'm sorry. We're gonna follow our Lord, our Heavenly Father book. Like, let's be real. So I'm gonna answer mine and make it real fast. No. We not going into a marriage with confusion. And if I gotta sit there and say, well, you can hang out with them, but I have to be there. Or you can talk to them, but I have to be right by you. Or you can hang out with them sometimes. What kind of friend y'all is and how long y'all been together as friends? If I got to do all of that, then it's a no, because we're not doing that. I'm not about to have a marriage and a debate and sit there and stress or fall into feeling what's the word I'm looking for? Fall into not being sure in myself because I allowed it. And then the more you allow, the more it occurs and it opens up door for the devil to start playing with your mind. Like, you allow them to be friends. They probably out there doing stuff. I'm not doing that.
That's why everything should be laid out on the table ahead of time. Everything should be laid out.
Here's my thing. Just because somebody agrees to something doesn't necessarily mean they agree to it on the inside. They probably just said that so they can get what they want to get in the beginning. But I assure you, as time goes on, something's going to give. You're going to have to make a decision at some point. Something's going to have to give. That's usually how it is.
All right. So we're going to, because we have so many more questions, y'all. If y'all have something else to add on this, go ahead before I go to number
two. I'm good.
All right.
I'm good.
Three. Okay. Is there a such thing as stepkids? Is there a such thing as stepkids? When marriage was talking about.
We're talking about marriage, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So in a marriage, I don't look at it as stepchildren. Even when I was with my ex, y'all don't talk about me, but I'm being very transparent and very honest. I'm putting everything on the table. The guy that my daughter calls dad, he's actually 21 years older than me. So when I got with him, his daughter was like, I want to say maybe 4 years younger than me. I didn't look at them as being no stepchildren, nothing. Those are my bonus kids, you know, even though we wasn't married. But to me, I don't even look at it. If my boyfriend had kids and we decided to get married, they're not my stepchildren. They are my bonus children. But what I do for my daughter, if I'm with him and if I love him the way that I say I love him and the way that the Bible says you're supposed to love your husband, you should take care of those kids as your own. You don't mistreat children. Even if they're grown, if they're small, whatever, those I don't consider no children to be my stepchildren. Those are my bonus children, or those are my children, however they look at it. If they feel like they want to call me mom, okay, I'm cool with it. As long as it's okay with your mother. I'm the type of person where I want to know your mother. I want to get to know her. Hey, how you doing? I'm not trying to take your place, not one bit, but hey, I'm married to, you know, your child's father. However you take that, that's how you take that. But I'm going to treat your child how I want you to treat my child. I'm not going to mistreat yours, and don't mistreat mine.
Thank you. What about you, Jay?
You can say there's no such thing as stepkids, but people are going to look at them that way. However, as a man, you're responsible for everybody in that house, whether they're biological or not, because that's what you're supposed to do. And if one kid has something, the other kid should have something too. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Everybody should be treated the same, you know? Right. And also with that being said too, all kids should also have reverence for the man of the house. You know what I'm saying? That is the authority. There's none of this, right. You know, I'm going to call your other dad and all this other stuff. Legally and all of this stuff, yeah, you do all of that. But if I have to split power in my own house, that's not going to fly. I'm not going to do that because I'm responsible for that. The other person's not there. For whatever reason, they're not there. But if I'm the head of this particular household, they will obey. Everybody in my house obeys. And I mean, everybody from the top all the way down, everybody obeys because I'm responsible for protecting everybody in the house. And if you can't heed to my authority, which yields my protection, then you're going to have to stay somewhere else.
Yeah, I agree with that. James, I'm going to let you go.
Is there such thing as stepkids? Mm-hmm. No, there's not. If my wife or my girlfriend had kids, I would not treat them any differently. They would be mine because of the simple fact of I'm going to make sure that what's mine is taken care of. Mm-hmm. If you need anything, don't hesitate to ask. I got you covered. You don't even have to ask for it. Before you can even ask for it, I'm going to make sure that it's done. Yeah, mm-hmm. your baby's dad might be doing stuff for them, but guess what? I'm still going to step up and make sure that I'm covering my household as well. Because as the man, that is my responsibility. Mm-hmm. God has given me that responsibility. Mm-hmm. So if we want to keep it biblical, I have to take care of that household. When God gave me the instructions to marry her, I knew that she had kids already. So right. If I knew she had kids already, I already know what I'm walking into. I already know that it is a package deal. I can't get one without the others. So I'm not going to do for her and not do for her kids. Mm-hmm. Plain and simple.
Right. To answer that question, it made me think of when you're joined in union, it's two come to one. And you also know that whatever debt that person has, those are your debts now. And so it just makes me think of a child the same way. Whatever is on each end, the man and the woman, if they both have separate kids, when they join together before the Lord and vow to be joined as one in union, they all come together under one roof. One, we chasing the same God. We worshiping the same God. We praying to the same God. So we will follow the man on earth over that house, his rules, abide by his rules. And no one should be set aside or set apart or looked at differently, because then why are we married if we're going to chastise a child because he has a different mother or a different father? Then at that we should, in our union, if we can't come together on all things on one accord. And so that's my response on that. Y'all want to add to that?
Mm-mm, that's it right there. You said what you needed to say.
Right. Mm-hmm. Plain and simple.
That's okay. It.
All right. So number four, can you stay with your partner? Let me reword that. Can you stay with your partner if they mistreat your child differently from the other kids? Can you stay with that person that you're married to that starts to, they weren't doing it before, but now you're married, you start seeing that different treatment. Can you then stay with your partner for treating your child differently than the others?
No, that's a hard no. No, no, and no.
Okay. No ifs, ands, or buts. Okay.
No ifs, ands, or buts about it. You gotta go.
All right.
Because you're not gonna treat my child differently. I mean, what's so different now? Because we're married, that you treat my child different than when we were dating. You're gonna have some explaining to do on why my child is being treated different than your child. If I don't treat your child different, you're going to treat my child the same way I treat your child, because I'm not going to mistreat your child. And if you can't respect it, and if you can't, you know, treat this child right, you can go, or I can go, however it is, but you're not going to mistreat my child.
Yeah, I agree. What about you, Jay?
As a man of the house, I need to figure out what's going on. And I'm going to tell you why. Sometimes kids can get disrespectful. especially when the other person is not their parent. And sometimes you need to transfer power to the other parent and say, look, when she tell you to get somewhere and sit down, you get somewhere and sit down. Mm-hmm. If she tell you to go in there and clean up your room, you go in there and you clean up your room. You sit up and say it. I need to figure out exactly what's going on. I'm not automatically going to take my child's side immediately just because that's my child. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? No, my child has to do. Well, Let me finish. My child has a responsibility to obey me. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? And anyone who I charge to be in charge of them, they're supposed to obey them too.
Yeah.
That's how I look at it. Mm-hmm. Now, before I get rid of anybody, I want all the facts. I need to know what's going on. If she tells me that you're misbehaving, I need to know why. I'm your dad. Tell me what's going on. You know what I mean? I'm not finna bust up another family because somebody, you know, didn't like each other today. That's not how you handle problems. Mm-hmm. How you handle problems is you sit down as a family and you talk about it. You know what I mean? Because yeah. 9 times out of 10, it's a miscommunication problem. And as the head of the household, it is my job to make sure we iron out any disagreements or any miscommunications. You know what I mean? I've seen it happen several times where kids will say, you're not my dad or you're not my mom. That's because the person who was actually over that particular child, biological parent, did not transfer power to the other person and say, hey, look, this person is responsible for you. You need to pay attention to what they're telling you to do, especially if they're not mistreating you. If they're trying to make sure that you're safe and I'm depending on them to keep you safe, the same way I ask you to do something so I can keep you safe, you're going to have to do the exact same thing with them so they can keep you safe, because I put them in charge because I trust them. And if I trust them, that should be good enough. That's how I look at it.
Yeah. That's a good point. Adriana?
I can agree with him somewhat, but not all the way. Because my thing is, like, I'm not going to say just go with what their child say, period. I'm not going to say that. But I understand that me and him would have total different opinions because I have children, he don't. So, yeah.
Okay. For me.
I will say this.
Okay.
Just because I don't have any biological kids don't mean I ain't had no practice for other folks' kids.
Okay.
So I know what I'm talking about.
I never said you didn't, but I'm just saying I would say biologically. Because mine came out of me biologically. So yeah.
They weren't gonna come out of me no way, so
but you would be their dad biologically. So I'm just saying.
Correct.
But my thing is, yeah, we would have different opinion because I have a child biologically.
Correct. But my thing is, if I'm head of the household and I'm responsible for everybody in the house and to keep everybody safe, it's don't have to be my way, because I'm going by what God told me to do. And if anybody's not on board, then they got to go.
I understand that. But like I said, again, as well, it's going to mean your opinion is going to be different because I'm a man. I mean, I'm a woman and you're a man.
Right. And we got different responsibilities. Right.
So it's totally different. But like I said, I'm not saying just take their child word or whatever.
Right.
And my thing is, I need to see this in action for myself, seeing what's going on for myself about, you know, the mistreatment and everything else.
Right.
Once I see the mistreatment going on, hey, what's going on? Like, why are you treating my child different than what you're treating your child? What's going on? Let me know what's going on. Right. I'm going to get your side of the story. I'm going to get my child's side of the story. We're going to sit down and we're going to talk. Once we have that discussion about everything else, I'm expecting to see some changes. If not, then you got to go, because that's my child. And that's my thing is, I'm her mother. And as her mother, my job is to protect my child and make sure that my child is safe regardless.
Right.
I like to give myself always for an example. Growing up and, you know, my mom was with my biological father for a short time. And I remember I went through a phase where I just wouldn't like no man that my mom was in a relationship with. So I gave them a hard time.
Yes.
And, you know, I would always not listen to them. And I would say, Ma, he's not good for you. I don't want you to be with him. I want you to be with my father. And so I know kids do that, because I've worked with kids throughout my whole life in different age group. And they do that. I do know kids do that. My sister, she's 23 now. I know she went through a phase of that same thing.
Right.
And, you know, if you want to shed biblical light on it, it's funny because God had me reading in Mark where Jesus was teaching his disciples about marriage and what is acceptable for divorce and separation. And he will take this right here as not an exception to just go and divorce.
Correct.
Or you would have to sit down as a family together and find out what the root of the problem is. And I'm saying this from a standpoint, if you're married. If you're not married, then deuces. But if you're married, just think about if you get remarried. Say you divorce, okay? My child is like, no, I don't want you with that man, mommy. And I'm like, okay. And he's treating her differently. And I don't question. I don't investigate. I don't try to talk. We talk as family. And I divorce this man. And then I remarry. Then the same cycle keeps happening. At what point do we stop? You know, so I would say instead of just jumping, because when in my young self, I used to think that way, like, why is my mom with this man? And I told her I don't like him. I had that issue. That was an issue I had. And so knowing that, I wouldn't just jump to the gun, not saying I don't love, I love my child any less, or I don't trust or believe my child. But if I join to a man in marriage, it's because God told me to get married to that man.
Right.
And God told me to get married to that man. Oh, we going before God in prayer on our knees, the kids and everybody, in order to find out what we need to do from here, because God said we can't just hop up and get a divorce. And that's right. If y'all don't have nothing to add to that.
I got one more piece. Whenever you start to blend families like that, it's important that you get therapy, because you don't know what you're blending into. Like in this particular situation, there's this thing where they say, well, this is my child, I'm responsible for this, but I'm responsible for you and everybody. You know what I'm saying? So my thing is there's also a hidden trauma that needs to be dealt with before that can come together. And if you don't have that discussion beforehand, that's going to be a problem. That's definitely going to be a problem. Yes, you can pray, but you still need some intercessors too, like therapists, to come in and make sure that everybody's healthy and they can see where everybody's coming from. That's how that works.
I believe the same way you do marriage, pre-marriage counseling.
Correct.
That as well. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. For me, I think that for me, when it comes down to that, As Rihanna, as all of y'all have said, I am going to watch for myself as correct. Well to see, okay, if my child is telling me this is going on, okay, I'm going to listen to myself. But what I'm also going to do is I'm going to look and see for myself. I'm going to be like, okay, let me pay attention. Let me open up my eyes, because there may be some things that I am missing, because I am so in love with this person that I am missing something. Because sometimes we can be so in love with somebody that we have our blinders on and we miss out on things that we shouldn't be missing out on. Like, they may not be doing the things that they're supposed to be doing for one child because it isn't theirs biologically.
Right.
So what we got to make sure of is that once that child tells me that, then I don't want to put them in a situation where if they tell me that and I'm like, oh, no, I ain't listening to you anyway. I'm going to go on and I'm going to stay married to them. You just imagining it. Because then what that's going to do is put them in a situation, my child in a situation, to where they're going to think, wow, my parent doesn't believe me.
Right.
And if they don't believe me about this, they ain't going to believe me about anything. So that's going to break down the communication between me and my child. And I want myself to have that open communication with me. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to keep my eyes open and I'm going to watch it for myself. Now, if I see that my wife is treating myself differently than any of the other children, then most definitely we're going to have a discussion about it. Then I'm going to let her know if something doesn't change, if this accent continues, then we are going to take the proper actions going forward. And my sound is always going to come before anything else. So, yes, I'm married to you, but I got to make sure that my sound is taken care of too, because that is on my hands.
You know that's not biblical, right?
Exactly. I know it.
Really, what? No, I'm not throwing shade. I'm just being serious because you're the rev, okay? I'm just being... I feel us in the natural, we want to cover our babies. And so if we're really going to pick up our cross and live this life for Jesus, if we can't just pick and choose what we want to follow, right?
Right.
And so biblically, it's the husband and the wife and the child after that.
I agree with that. I understand. Also,
I totally understand what you're saying.
I also, what we got to watch out for is if I choose my wife over my child in this situation, then that can open up a situation where my wife may think that, okay, bet, since they chose me over them in this situation, I can start abusing this child, and they still going to choose me over their child. And that is not going to happen.
So, Rev,
that is not.
But our response, I'm not trying to change your response. I'm just trying to get you to look at it in the light of our response. It's addressing the matter in all aspects. It's not.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's not picking the wife's side or picking the husband's side or picking the son or the daughter's side. It's really putting all hands on deck and seeing what the issue is. When that child, whether it's a boy or a girl, comes and says, I'm being mistreated, it is to sit down with the child and ask, why do you feel that way? We're not dismissing feelings. That's not what we're saying. Not dismissing feelings. We're not going to have anyone feel like they have any higher authority, or we're not going to have anyone feel that they're less worthy as a child, because kid, you don't want to damage a child. You don't want to damage your marriage. You don't want to damage anyone. Right. But it's really sitting down and seeing why that child, number one, came to you with that information, talking to them, assuring them that you love them and that we're going to get to the bottom of it. It's not making anyone feel any type of way or making the wife feel as though she can mistreat your child, because after your child comes and talks to you, then you're going to go to your wife separately and then y'all going to bring each other together.
I agree with that. And that's why I said, like, we would have to have that conversation.
Here's my thing about kids. Kids want what they want when they want it. You know what I mean? And as a parent, you should be on the lookout for stuff like that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They will manipulate one parent against the other because they didn't get what they wanted to get. And as an adult, you're going to have to make sure that they follow the rules, because when they get older, when they try that on somebody else, like the law, that's not going to work. You're not going to be able to manipulate the law, because the law is the law. You see what I'm saying? And when you get into a relationship, that creates an unhealthy precedent where that person has learned to manipulate other people. And then when you hurt people, you're not responsible how the other person turns around in response to your mistreatment of them. So as a parent, you're responsible for training that child up as they should go. So when they're older, they will not depart. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. And in the instructions, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things will be added unto it. So if you ask and you counsel with God, who knows all, who sees all, and say, hey, Lord, I need some help. This is what's going on in my family. My kid is telling me that my wife is mistreating him. My wife is telling me my kid is acting up. You know what God going to say? Back down the chain of command, talk to your wife first. You see what I'm saying? And then after you talk to your wife, then you talk to your kid. And then what you do is you take what they have to say and you take that back to God. Say, God, this is what they told me. You know what I mean? And God's going to be like, this is what it is. And then after that, you make a decision. And you say, hey, look, I'm going to make sure that you're going to be treated fairly as my child and as my wife. I'm going to make sure that you're actually treated fairly as my wife. You have all the blessings, the authority, and the responsibility here at Hunt's bestowed unto you. So guess what? Everything in my kingdom actually shall bow to your authority. That's how it should work. So you have the same amount of power as I have when it comes to ruling in my absence. Does that make sense? So that it way, if anything gets out of hand, she has the authority to do that. If I don't transfer that authority to her, I'm actually mistreating her. And God did not command me to mistreat something that's supposed to be my flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone. I'm putting her at a disadvantage. You see what I'm saying? When the kids get old and they get grown and they have their own family and kids or whatever, it's back to me and her. And she's going to remember when I didn't take her side. She's going to remember when I didn't transfer the authority. And that's going to ruin the marriage. God didn't put us together in marriage for us to be separated when hard times show up. He put us together so when hard times show up, we'll have somebody to lean on. So that's the reason why he gives us the order that he gives us the order of. So that way we can actually navigate life's lessons and trials and tribulations. Does that make sense?
I agree. Yeah, that makes sense. That's why I also said that before any decision is made,
correct,
we sit down as a family and have a discussion and make sure that what is happening is actually happening. Make sure there's no misunderstandings. But also I would make sure that like both sides know I'm not taking sides on this matter. I'm making sure that myself feels protected, but I'm also making sure that my wife feels like she still has the authority that she needs to have in order to discipline this out when I'm not there. I'm not trying to separate the authority, but what I'm trying to make sure of is that everybody's feelings feel valid.
Right. And people respect you when you do stuff like that too. When you take time out to listen to what everybody has to say and just don't jump to one side or the other, people actually respect you for that because they'll be like, okay, this person actually listened. So when harder things come to them, they won't be afraid to come to you because they're going to be like, oh, this person is calm under pressure. This person will allow me to say what I need to say without feeling judged when the rubber meets the road. Because I don't know about y'all, sometimes when people get into trouble and they really can't trust you with your emotions, they won't bring it to you. And that's a bad situation. So you don't want to do that. You want to make sure that you're calm under pressure at all times. That's what we have to do as men to make sure that people can come to us comfortably saying that we can help them solve their problems. Because we're going to be talking to God anyway. Because men of God, that's what we're supposed to do. So we wouldn't want people to be afraid to go to God, right? So why shouldn't they be afraid to come to us, right? Same deal.
I agree. Let's get back into these questions.
All right. Any questions in the any comments?
I like this one. Yes, empower your wife. Mm-hmm. So it creates bitterness and resentment.
Yeah.
You as parents have to know yourself.
Correct.
That is true.
That's right.
Create a safe.
That's right. Space. A safe space.
Safe space.
Safe space. Yeah. It's, so, all of that is true.
All right, I'm gonna run through these. Where are we at? Almost an hour. Okay, we have three more questions. So the next question is, how do you feel a child being mistreated differently affects that child and also affects the other kids?
I'm not gonna put up with that. No, I'm not gonna put up with that. All my kids are responsible for me. Let me tell you something. My grandfather had 12 kids and one bonus kid, you know what I mean? Which was my uncle. And he was not biologically from my grandmother or my grandfather. You know what I mean? We just kind of adopted him. And we treated him as if he was an heir, just like everybody else. You know what I'm saying? He wasn't treated differently from anybody else. And my granddaddy wouldn't allow that either. You know, he's a son just like everybody else. And you're not going to treat him any different. So that's how we roll. You know what I mean? If you wear our name, you're on the same team. Come on. We got you. That's how that is.
Yeah. What about you, Adriana?
I feel the same way about that question. Yeah, pretty much. I'm not going to put up with that. That's a hard no as well.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel that just if it is happening, though you're not going to put up with it, how do you feel, the second part of the question, how do you feel that it may affect the other kids that's around, that's getting treated better? How do you feel that that may affect them?
That's going to make them feel like they're superior. And you should never...
mistreat that person too, huh?
Right. You should never teach your kids to be superior to somebody else. You know what I mean? Or and or for that matter of fact, that they're inferior to anyone else. You see what I'm saying? We all came in here the same way. We all got to lead. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So no one person is better than the other. Yeah. And you're supposed to teach your kids to be humble. You don't want your kids to treat one person different than the other. Ain't mm-hmm. no worse a feeling than having somebody to treat you different because of X, Y, and Z. You know what I mean? And we know people do that because people sometimes are mean, but we have to train children not to do that. That's very important.
Yeah. Adriana?
He's right on that question. I can agree with everything that he said on that. You don't do that because that's very mean. You don't want one child to feel like they're better than the other child. It shouldn't be like that at all.
Mm-hmm. Right. What about you, Rev?
For me, number one, like everybody has said, I'm not putting up with it because at that point, what happens is a divide becomes in the family. And if the family is divided, then we can't do what God has called us to do. Mm-hmm. Because you got one person going over here, one person going over there, one person going over here. And once that one person feels like they are not a part of the family unit anymore, then what happens is they start rebelling. Anything that happens in that family, they're going to start writing a tell-all book about everything that done went on in that family. And that's how you find all your issues all over the internet and all over in books because of the simple fact of you mistreated that one child.
Yeah.
And here's the thing that we got to realize. Once you mistreat a child, if you're going to go biblical with it, the one that was always mistreated was always the one that had the promise of God on their life. You never know who you are mistreating. Never know.
Yeah,
you're absolutely right. And kids, don't forget. They do not forget.
Joseph definitely didn't forget. Joseph looked at that at his brothers,
right?
And he told them, he's like, "What y'all meant for evil, God turned it around for my good."
That's right.
Yeah, I know y'all meant for me to die in this situation, but God said no.
I like to think that even though we know our Heavenly Father does not show favoritism, though, but when God sees someone, especially his children, being mistreated and misled, he feels like he has to take that extra covering over them.
Right.
And I believe that's also what happened with many in the Bible, like Joseph, like we were talking about. In the natural, if that was really, really, really happening in a family, that child being mistreated and in front of the other kids, it will make that child being mistreated feel like an outsider.
Right.
Like Joseph did. It would then lead the child to maybe run away because then the other kids are going to bully the child.
Right.
Because they feel that they're being treated in such a special way. They do no wrong. They get fed. This child over there looking like he got to get himself dressed. He got to feed him, dress him or her, whichever. Then that's where bullying comes into play. And that's forcing a child to run away or even take their life.
Right.
So I feel that it will really truly affect that child in a negative way, of course, mentally. But we know we serve a higher God and he works things out for the good. But you see so many cases in that today where a child will hang themselves or commit suicide because they're amongst family where they're not being heard, where they're not being seen, where they're being mistreated. And this prophet that I followed, a lady and her three sons, I believe, was shot because something similar to what we're talking about.
Right.
But we want to be real careful, not to mistreat a child. Not saying we would, but just America, everyone. Mistreat a child, especially in front of siblings. Because we're not kids. And that also, when them kids that's getting treated like they do no wrong and they're being favoritized. When they go to school, they're gonna show that same behavior because they're not being disciplined. They're not being, and they're not being taught what is wrong from right. They're being taught what's wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Everything is wrong about that. So when they go to school, they're going to act the same way. So that's my thought on that. If y'all don't have anything else to that, I'll go to the next one.
Okay.
All right. Mm-hmm. So number six. What would make a person separate the child that you guys have together versus that child that is the outside from your husband or your wife? What would make a person, I think we mentioned that somewhere in the beginning, but what would make your spouse, what is maybe one thing so we can cut down the answer a little bit. What is one thing that may make your spouse or someone mistreat that child that is not your child together versus the kids that you have together? What is one thing?
Probably behavior. That's the one thing I can see that they would probably do. If your kid is just unruly and they say that our rules is different than my other house, so why I got to do what y'all say in this house? You know what I mean? That type of thing. That's the only thing I can see that would cause something like that.
Okay. What about you?
That's what I was going to say, but I was a little disrespectful. Right. With the child being very disrespectful, I can see that happening. Yeah. Other than that, I couldn't. I don't know. Disrespectfulness to me.
Yeah. Right.
Well, the child's being endangering the lives of the other children. You know what I mean? Like fighting and stuff like that. I can see that. Yeah. You know, you had to break stuff like that because kids. They don't play fair. You know, they beat each other up and all kind of stuff. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And they don't know when to pull back, you know, so they just lay into each other. You know, that's what they do.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's one of the things I can see, either violence or a real bad attitude. That's the only thing I can see why you would do that.
Right. What about you, Rev? The person isn't
stable. I have to agree with Sister Andrea. Person isn't stable. They are dealing with some mental issues. Mm-hmm. And because they're dealing with their mental issues, they don't know how to properly love on a child. Mm-hmm. And they are treating their children different because of the fact of, oh, that's mine. That came from my bloodline. I don't care if that came from your bloodline. At the end of the day, if you married me and you knew I had a child when we got married, my child becomes your child. So same responsibilities that you give your child, the same blessings and the same rewards you give your children that are biologically yours, you need to give mine the same thing.
Yeah. I was basically going to say somewhat the same thing. I was going to flip it a bit because I know you two answered. She hit it on the head. You two answered from a child perspective. I wanted to answer on the flip side because it really does happen where you have a parent that's jealous. Mm-hmm. That it. Just straight jealous. You got couples. It's not healthy. I'm not saying that it's healthy. You have couples, husband and wife, that's jealous of each other.
Right.
I don't put it past anyone to with these marriages. It's not a kingdom marriage. But what these marriages have become, that the kids are jealous of the parent and the husband and wife are jealous of each other. So that's what I was going to say. I was going to say it could be jealousy. And also Andrea said it could be unstable, mentally going through their own inner child problems that they never healed from. Traumas that maybe when they were their mom, for example, was married to their stepdad, they got treated that way, you know? And if these things aren't talked about before marriage, when you then now are married, everything's gonna let loose. The things that wasn't being showed then somehow opens up. Okay, so it's so important to have conversation, not just be in honeymoon stage before you get married, but really, I would love to think that that's the should be not the messiest that, but that should be your pruning, your digging, and finding out their deepest, darkest secret that only God knows, because a lot of times people, adults, are carrying trauma that they never healed from as kids and take it out on somebody else's kid or even their own kids. I just seen on Instagram, this woman, she drugged her own child. You know what I'm saying? So people really are battling with these demons that tell them to do crazy things because they never healed from their own trauma and they're still a child on the inside.
Right. Now, I've seen situations where wives had complications with postpartum. Mm-hmm. And say, for instance, the husband is taking care of the child so that the woman could rest. Mm-hmm. In her mind, she could be saying, you're showing the child more favor than me.
Yeah.
And I'm the one who had the child. I'm the one who needs your help. You know what I mean? I'm the one who needs you to nurse me back to health. Why are you babysitting the child? Well, the child can't take care of themselves. In a man's mind, logically, he's saying, you can't care for the child right now. I'm doing it. And she's going to be thinking, well, how come, who's going to care for me? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So those type of things go on inside people's minds after the fact. So there's some things you really can't plan for. That's where grace comes in. For your partner to make sure that you give them grace and get understanding and try to do the best that you can. Does that make sense?
Yeah. All right. This is our last question, y'all. Do y'all have anything else to add to that last one? Okay.
I agree with them on that one, though.
Oh, Rev, did you answer?
Yeah. I answered it. But I agree with that statement that he made about the postpartum.
On the way that you have to face at that moment. I get it. I totally get that. Because who's ready for a hormone woman? You know, we already got hormones.
Okay.
Who can ever?
Y'all don't have hormones. Y'all have hormones. Every minute, there's a different hormone that I'm dealing with. Every minute, every second, every hour.
Listen, we already have hormones before. Then when we have a baby, you know, our hormones go like this.
Right.
That's right. Nothing. Like you said, that'll just come and you'll face those giants right there at that point.
Yeah. Right.
But that's where grace comes in, and you got to love them past it.
That's right.
Because y'all don't have no choice but to love us. We just carried y'all. All right. So number 7, what are some deal breakers? Let's just, for time's sake, let's do 1. What is a deal breaker? Like your ultimate deal breaker. Anyone can go first.
Elaborate on that. You mean a deal breaker with the child, a deal breaker with the spouse?
What you want to do, just marriage, right?
Yeah.
Lying.
Because you know, before you get married, there got to be a deal breaker, right? What is that?
Lying.
Deal breaker.
I would say lying.
Okay.
My deal breaker is someone who is not willing to grow. I can't be with somebody who's not willing to grow. Because here's the thing. There's always two issues. There's a will issue and a skill issue.
Right.
I can fix a skill issue. I can teach you how to do stuff. But I can't teach you to want to be here. You see what I'm saying? And if you're not willing to change it, if you're not willing to grow, then that's not somebody I can be with. Because I'm always growing. I'm always learning. You know what I mean? I want to be able to teach my spouse and my kids as much as I can as long as I'm here.
Yeah.
So if I get someone who's not on board with that, then that is my ultimate deal breaker.
Yeah, because I mean, what can God do with someone that's not willing to learn?
Correct.
God is always changing us. So if she's or he is not willing to learn, then they become stagnant and stuck.
Right.
And God pushes us out of the most comfortable places. So if God can't do nothing with her, then you definitely can't do nothing with her, right?
Correct.
So, Rev, go. I'll let you go.
A cheater. If you cheat, then... And cheating can be emotionally physically, any type of cheating is a
financially.
Financially, any of that is a deal breaker for me, because it's like, if we've had a conversation that we only going to spend this much money this month, and you go out and you decide you want to spend over that amount, then guess what? Yo, that's a deal breaker, because now if you lie about that, what else are you going to lie about? And like my brother said, deal breaker, not being accountable for your actions. That's real. Right. If you ain't accountable for your actions, yo, we can't deal.
That's a good one.
Sis, what about you?
I would say all of everything you guys say, but the ultimate one for me is not having a heart for God.
That's real.
Like, honestly, I know I don't mean to sound all extra saved and all, but that it is what it is, because I feel that they can hold all those other things, but where's your relationship at with God? You know, I need all those other things, but ultimately the main deal breaker for me is you got to have a heart for God. You can't just be going to church, just going through the motion. You got to be having a heart for God, because when it comes us as a union getting judged by God, he's going to say, where's your heart? What is in your heart? And so I don't just want to ask him, do you go to church? You got to have a heart for God. Because that's where God tests is the heart, right? So that's my for that. Anything else y'all want to add?
Nope, that was a good one.
You hit it right on the head right there.
Okay. Oh, what y'all want to say before we go to the viewers? what y'all want to send the viewers off with for the show based on our topic?
Based upon the topic, always be flexible. Always stay prayed up. Make today be your best day, because tomorrow is not promised. That's my main thing.
Yeah. Adriana?
Keep God first in everything that you do.
Okay. What about you, Rev?
Sometimes our disappointments are nothing more than God's appointments, meaning some things that we're looking at is bad. God is only turning it around for our good. Stay blessed, be blessed, and be a blessing to someone else. And while y'all are on here tonight, go on over to themusiclovewards.com and vote for Real Talk Monday as Podcast of the Year. You have till the 31st of this month to vote, and you can vote as many times a day as you want. Go on over there and get to voting. Let's continue to let God elevate and make God continue to let God use us in a mighty way. And I appreciate our guests and our viewers for rocking with us tonight.
Greg has a question.
What if they have a heart for God but still cheat and aren't accountable?
If they have a heart for God, they wouldn't be cheating.
Thank you. That's the answer.
That's the answer. Bingo and Yahtzee.
Bingo.
All right. So, Jay and Adriana, can you tell the people where they can find you? Because I believe you said you have a podcast, right?
I do. It's called Lost in Translation Podcast. I can be found on YouTube, and also I'm on the Black Man Unfiltered Network on Tuesdays, on Talk That Talk Tuesday, and on Friday at the barbershop, where all the fellas get together and talk about topics of the world, things like that.
Okay. Adriana, where can the people find you?
You can find me on Facebook my name on Facebook is my name, Adriana Washington. You can also find me on Instagram, and that is all_about_Chaz, Chaz. You can also find me on TikTok as well, and Snapchat. So, yeah. On all social media sites, you're able to find me.
Okay. Well, I enjoyed the show with y'all. Thank you so much for your yes. Thank you for joining. I hope you guys enjoyed the topic and dialogue and conversation as well. And I hope y'all join us again soon.
Indeed.
Love y'all. Peace. Love y'all.
Bye.